Well, it doesn't get much better than that. What a captain's knock.
104.1 FM, Buckets Radio, some Dave Gray there. Sail away on this Thursday evening edition of Extra Cover. Thanks very much for being a part of the show, wherever you're listening. And it is great to be talking about cricket. What a great start to the Australian summer. We had Australia versus South Africa from the Gabba over the last little while. We've had time to enjoy that. Starting last Friday, I was on the edge of my seat. I was actually working last Friday during the day and at the lunch break, getting some score updates from other people. It was really buzzing. A lot of talk in and around the Australian team. Who should have been the 12th man? Who shouldn't have been the 12th man? Would the pitch take as much spin as we would like for Nathan Lyon's sake? Did we need a left-hander? Did we need a bit of variety in our pace attack? Well, I think possibly Mitchell Starc may have been a better option in the starting 11 for the Australians, but it's hard to say if it would have made that much difference on the Gabba wicket that looked like it was an absolute batsman's paradise. South Africa went into bat first and certainly showed that there were plenty of runs in the wicket. They were all out for 450 in their first innings, and Jax Kallis proving why he is arguably one of the greatest. Well, he is one of the greatest all-rounders of all time. It's arguable whether he is the very best all-rounder of all time. Statistically, he is an outstanding cricketer with both bat, ball and in the field. He notched 147 and Hashim Amlar made 104 as well. And had he reviewed his decision, he would have still been there. And who knows, he might have made anything the way he was batting. He was looking very good indeed. AB de Villiers made 40 and Mr. Peterson at the top of the order made 64 and kind of threw his wicket away a little bit, sort of spooning it there to mid-on for Mike Hussey to take the catch. James Pattinson did look like the most likely of the Australian bowlers to take a wicket, and he took three of them. He finished with 3 for 93, Hilfenhaus 2 for 73, 2 for 111 for Siddle and 2 for 136 for Lyon. I thought Nathan Lyon bowled extremely well. I'm not 100% sure what I think of him overall in the Australian makeup, but the more I see of him, the more impressed I am. And I think he certainly does have a lot to offer the captain with the ball. It was strange seeing Rob Quiney bowling 7 overs in that first innings. I wouldn't have minded seeing Davey Warner roll out the leg breaks. That's probably because I bowl leg breaks myself and I love seeing the leggies get a trundle at any opportunity. Australia in reply looked very shaky early on. It wasn't the start that they were after, but they certainly finished the job off well, finishing at 5 for 5.65. At one stage, they were 3 for 40 when Ponting fell without scoring. Quiney made a rapid 9, and Dave Warner was out for 4. He looked a little bit caught on the crease facing Dale Steyn. I hope he comes good in the remainder of the series because he can certainly make runs very quickly at the top of the order. But someone we don't normally associate with scoring runs at the sort of pace that we saw him scoring at the Gabba, Ed Cowan. What a trademark innings that will be for him. He certainly batted with intent. He showed that he was willing to play the shots off the back foot that he'd previously not been playing in his test career. He's driving with absolute class at the moment as well, and the only way he could be dismissed was off a straight drive from Michael Clarke that took a deflection onto the stumps off Dale Steyn's finger. He finished with 136, his first test century, and a remarkable effort for him. But what was more remarkable was the skipper, 259 not out, an absolute class act Michael Clarke has been in the last 12 months. He has been scoring runs ad nauseam, and he doesn't look like he's about to stop anytime soon. A great captain's effort. Some discussion as to whether he should be batting higher in the order. I would like to see him batting number 3 if he is going to have the lowercase c with the brackets around it beside his name. He could take ownership of that number 3 position and own it and lead from the front. But, I mean, if you're scoring 259 not out batting at number 5, possibly there's no issue with where you're batting in the lineup. If you're scoring that amount of runs, it doesn't really matter because you are leading your team to victory most of the time. This one wasn't a victory. This was a draw, but certainly got Australia out of a lot of trouble. Michael Hussey batted very well. He made 100 before he was dismissed. And Matthew Wade finished on 19 not out. And it was a few centuries for the South African bowlers. All of the first three bowlers notched up their centuries. Kleinveld didn't, though. He was on debut and he fell three runs short of the century with the ball. Best of the bowlers was Morkel, picking up three for 127. South Africa went in and had a little bit of a dip again, but it was always going to be difficult to force a result. They finished on five for 166. Pattinson picked up a couple of wickets, as did Lyon, and Peter Siddle picked up one as well. Jack Callis stopped top scoring with 49. We've got a little bit of a wait before the next test in Adelaide. The series is heating up. I am loving every minute of it, and I'm sure that you are as well. It was a shame that one day was washed out on Saturday, because I think we might have had a very tantalising finish had we got an extra day's play in, but not to be. And it leaves us with a very interesting series, two games to go, and looking forward to those indeed. Well, we are going to play some more music. This is Ben Lee and Catch My Disease on Buckets Radio.